It's recording.
The appointed hour has arrived. I believe everybody is in attendance. I would like to call this meeting to order. If we could have the roll call.
Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Here.
Sias?
Here.
Thank you. Let's stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't see any people to present town hall. Did we get any electronically? No.
No, we did not.
Thank you. The first item of business on our agenda is a discussion of the black box tax levy option and percentages. And I feel that this is something that we as a group need to make a recommendation to the full board. One of the things that I have noted in the last few years is that while my property values are increasing, my assessment, the real dollar assessment that's going to the library has been declining year after year, which suggests to me that we're not getting the full amount of the tax levy that we might. And I believe that it's something that we need to seriously consider. Have you prepared some information for us in terms of increases in values?
Yeah.
Or not values, but
excuse me, could you please identify yourself with your mask?
Oh, I'm James. I'm the accountant.
Okay.
Nice to see everybody again. I think we met once. So we've kind of looked at your levies. I mean, there's an inverse relationship between the EAV and the rate. So what you're seeing on your individual tax bill most likely is that you've got an EAV increase. So I think in the 17 extension, you had $972 million in EAV. If you fast forward now to the 20 extension, you've got $1.08 billion or so. So you're seeing an increase in assessed value. What that does then is drop your rate. So your rate's going to be going down. So if you see your home and the tax rate going down when it's applied to your assessed value, that doesn't necessarily mean we're getting less. You know, we always levy typically at that 5% roughly to capture everything we can under the cap being the CPI and new growth. And you've been able to do that. So your year-on-year increases, and I was just looking at the Cook County extensions because that's the later one. The 18 extension was 2.6, the 19 extension 2.2, 20 extension 2.6. And that makes sense to me because you're capturing the CPIs in those years, which was 2.1, 1.9, 2.3, plus the new growth. So you've seen, you say you had about 1.6 million in new growth in 17, 3.6 million in 18, 19, 3.3, 20, 4.1. So those percentages, that math works because you've got, you know, on, let's say, the 20 extension, a 2.3 CPI, plus roughly about 0.4 percent in new growth. And so that equates to that year-on-year increase that you're seeing, which is roughly, you know, $80,000 in new money. So you are capturing what you can under the cap. Now, I think the concern that we've kind of talked about is that TIF district and when that comes on, which we talked about in 23, I want to say.
Yes.
That's the year we will most definitely have to balloon the levy. And that's going to mean the black border and the hearing to follow Truth in Taxation. So,
but we'll get notification.
You should get notification from the village. They should say we have a TIF expiring, just so you get an estimate of what that means. And to you, and I was just looking at this a little earlier, I think it's about $78 million in new growth. which comes down to the tax rolls as new growth. So that's why we have to balloon the levy. So before, you know, you're capturing everything you can. You've got these low CPIs and roughly 2%, plus another 0.4% or so in terms of new growth in the past 3 years, let's say. So you're if you're at 5%, you're capturing all of that. When you hit 78 million, that's too big, and we're going to have to really bump up our percentage to maybe 20% above the prior year's extension in order to capture all of that. But you are capturing what you can, and in that inverse relationship where you see assessed values go up, that's the natural, just based on the formula, it's always your extension over the EAV, that's going to drop your rate. So if you see your rate going lower, meaning you're actually paying less tax dollars to the rate, to the district, it means somebody else is picking it up, and the, you know, within, you know, all the tax bills. So you're not getting any less. You're getting your, you know, like about $80,000 of new money every year, but the rate will decrease. And again, you'll see that represented on your tax bill, but it doesn't mean you're not capturing the full amount under the cap. So you guys are doing what you need to do.
Well,
to capture that.
I guess I'm still not understanding why, if we're capturing what we need to, I'm seeing a real dollar decrease in my property taxes on my property. I've looked at several other pieces of property, and I'm seeing the same thing here in DuPage County. I haven't been able to figure out where to individual tax bills for Cook County.
Yeah.
But it would seem to me that if in fact we're getting a inflationary increase, the 1.4 in the current assessment, that, and we're getting the new property that's not part of the TIF district included in our tax base, that we should be seeing an increase in individual property taxes and not decreases.
No, because the reason is because the rate is dropping, and meaning the cap is working. The whole point of the cap was to not allow your tax monies to go up as EAV increased and capture those big upticks that you might see due to booms in the real estate market, let's say. The cap is there so that your extension is always capped back basically to that CPI, but the EAV can continue to grow. And that could be, you know, that could be new buildings, it could just be appreciation on your home, you know, on a triannual reassessment year. But it keeps the rate lower, even though you're getting more, you're just spreading it out over more EAV and value. So that's kind of the misconception, is that I should continue to levy at this really high rate to make sure I capture the EAV increase. Well, you can't. The cap won't allow you to do that, and you would get capped back regardless if you went to 20%. You know, this year, let's say on a 1.4 CPI, it would cap you back to the 1.4 plus any new growth. So it really is, the caps work in the sense that they keep our extensions to just that CPI component, even though EAV continues to increase. So for example, in 2004, I'm just looking at your audit, if you look at page 43, DuPage County, you were at 0.36 in year 2014. And in 2019, the last year recorded in the audit, it's 0.32. So your rate's going down, but you're still capturing what you can under the cap, but values are going up, new growth is going up.
Is it, to make an analogy.
Yeah.
When you have a smaller pie and you cut it up, the pieces might be a little bit bigger for if each taxpayer is a slice of pie, and it doesn't get bigger with new growth and stuff like that, the pieces are bigger. Well, there's a lot more growth, the pieces will get smaller for the same amount of money.
Exactly right. Your pie stays the same, as though you get more value, the slices get thinner. Yep. So you're paying less.
Okay, thank you.
I'm still puzzled. If we have, say, $5 million in new buildings that is taxable, and our base is $100 million, which it isn't, but it's higher than that. How are we capturing the new growth, which is the $5 million?
Right, because you're going to 5%. So you're capturing your CPI, which is the cap, plus you get that additional component of new growth. So
it's like a buffer between 1.4 and 4.99%.
Correct. That's why you always levy at that 5, because that's how you're capturing that new growth component. You know, so let's say last year you were at a 2.3 CPI, you levied at your 5, which is normal, and you were actually capped back to about 2.6% year on year in terms of an annual increase. And that's really the 2.3 plus the new growth of the 0.4. And that's how you're capturing the new growth without going in excess of the 5%. You just don't need to because of the cap.
Well, what I saw on the tax bills in DuPage County that I looked at multiple years was about a 3 to 3.5% decline annually in the tax dollars that those properties were paying to the
sure.
library district.
And that's because you've got new growth. You've got other people in the community making up that difference because you've got added value or you've got completely new buildings, completely new homes that are picking up that additional piece of the total pie that we're going to get through the extension. So you've got just other people picking that up. Your bill, individual bill, goes down, that's good. The rate goes down, that's good. But again, somebody else is picking that up. We're never getting less money, you're always getting more money, but you're spreading it now amongst a much bigger pool of value. And then that's where you're gonna see rates come down, but you're never getting any less than the year before. And that's another thing that I've seen a lot of residents come to meetings for the exact opposite, where you've got, let's say you're in a recessionary period and the values go crashing down, the rate's going to go way up, but we're still capped. We can't go out and get, you know, all, even though your rate's going up, and people are like, wait a minute, my value went down. Why am I paying more? I don't understand this. It's because somebody has to pick up the rest of the extension. The full extension has to be met. No matter what the values are, no matter how many new homes come on, it either in good times like we see now, it's going to get spread over more people, over more value. In bad times, it gets spread over less value. So that's why you see the rates go up. So either in both situations, again, and this was talked about at some point in Springfield, where in recessionary periods where you see these really, you know, either low CPIs, you know, you never go negative. You always get more. You're always able to capture more as a local government, and that's because you're always basing it off the prior year's extension as the start, and then they apply that CPI for you, and then they add new growth, and then they cap you back.
When I read this, it was eye-opening in many respects. But the thing that I did not realize until I read this was how the TIF districts are handled. That it is a plus adjustment in the year that it comes off
comes out of the tax rolls.
Onto the tax rolls. But it's only a 1 year. So are we saying that any growth that a community has that's real growth, not inflationary growth because of values of property increasing, we don't capture?
No, we do. So that's why you're going to that 5%, so you're capturing all that new growth. And the one-time effect that it's gonna have means that in terms of new money for that year, you're gonna see a big impact. I think, you know, you saw with the latest extension, the DuPage County, it's like $230,000 that we can capture in that first year. After that, though, it stays in your EAV, but now you're going back to just capturing CPI and new growth. So it comes on with a one-time big effect for us, but then it stays there in EAV, and we can continue to capture that as we go, because we're always building off the prior year's extension on the levy. So that's how the levy formula starts. It's last year's extension plus CPI, and then they factor in that new growth as part of the formula. So you're right. It does come on in one big chunk for us, that $230,000, but then that's gonna stay in our extension, because that's what we're gonna get extended by the counties. And then next year, we're gonna start there, so we're keeping that money, and then applying the same cap formula.
But in order to do that, we need to,
in that year,
black box a huge dollar amount.
Exactly right.
If we're, as it appears in the next several years, we're going to have at least proposed substantial new housing growth in the community. There's one at 59 and Stearns Road, and there's the high-priced development across from the high school that they're starting to sell, I think. Aren't we better off looking at getting our public used to the idea of black box and working there so that when we come 2 years down the line to an enormous black box, that it's something that we're in a position where we're able to defend what our requests are.
Yeah.
We know we've got specific plans. It's not like we're just money grabbing.
Trustee
Olson, I'd like to, that's a political question, and I'd like to address that since I was elected by the, I'm one of the seven people that are elected to that. And my feeling on it is we are limited until that time. We're limited by the CPI, 5% of the CPI, whatever's less. And I believe in this community, we're a very fiscally conservative community. I've seen it over and over again with the referendum, for the Florida district. Before that, there was the, when the Park District wanted to buy Villa Olivia, those were very heavy, those were big lifts. And it's my feeling this community does not like to see anything resembling new taxes. When it is time for the black box, I think that's a big thing. I mean, this community, to prepare the community, it's kind of like, okay, we're levering at this amount, because all this money that we've foregone for the last 23 years, we want to capture now. So it'll be easier on you individually. Your rate will go down. You know, everything's staying the same. Your rate may go down. An amount you pay may go down. So that's why we're doing it. And I think the community, when they hear that, will be very, okay, they would understand that. I think before that, if we try to prepare them for it, I think this community is very savvy, and I think there are some people who will take this as an opportunity to push their own agenda. It's not necessarily the library's agenda. So that's one of the reasons I'm concerned about putting it out to the public beforehand without, we've had increases in this community of subdivision here, subdivision here. And we've been able to assimilate that, those monies. Now, if a subdivision comes up that's larger, that we need to, but we're gonna get, we'll be notified by the village of that, and then we can determine, okay, do we have to go over the 5%? Do we have to do the black box? That's a question decided at that time. Would I like to see more money for the library? Yes, but however, one of my positions as a trustee is to make sure that there's sufficient funds, plus a little bit extra, to operate the library, prudent reserve to operate the library. Thank you.
The only thing I would add is just that there may come a time, so right now we're dealing with this inflation, you know, we're at over 5%. If we were to get to a point where this stuck with us all the way through to December, so not this year's levy, but the following year's levy, you're closer to that 5%, you would want to publish and have the hearing. Because now you know your starting point is CPI, and if that CPI is 4, 4.5, and you're collecting, even if you're collecting like we were talking about, just 0.4, 0.3, that's when I think it would be a good idea.
So it's all determined by the CPI.
Right, because it's 5%. Right. So if you're over 5%, that's when you have to do that in terms of publish and have the hearing based on the Truth in Taxation Act. So those are times when we would do that, just as you said, to make sure that we're comfortable capturing the new growth component plus the CPI. But given the 1.4 we're going to see this year when we levy, and knowing that the new growth, and I'll calculate that for you. I'll come back during levy time and say, look, at 4.99% and a 1.4 CPI, you know, you'd have to have 3.6% of an increase in new growth, and I will calculate that out for you to give you a comfort level that says there's no way we're going to see that based on our historical trend, even if a new subdivision were put in place and come onto the rolls. Well, the only time that we would need to do that is typically during a TIF situation like we're going to run into in a couple of years. But yes, that would be something to look at if, let's say, when we get to the, to it would be actually be January of 22 when the CPI would come out for the previous 12-month December to December. If that's it over 4%, I would say yes, we should black border. Just and we've done that in some rapidly growing communities too. So like out in New Lenox, we do the fire district down there. They have seen rapid growth, like 20 million plus every year. That's an area where we say, look, in a CPI even over 2%, we want a black box, because otherwise we're not going to capture the new growth. So that's where those concerns start to come in. But for right now on a 1.4, we're gonna tell you exactly how much new growth you have to have at a 5% levy for us to be concerned. And I don't think, you know, just given your history here, you'd have to have something major come out of the tax.
Like if they redeveloped the downtown.
Yeah.
Condominium high rises.
Something huge that had so much value to it that we would say, yes, we're gonna black border to capture that. And like you said too, trustee, that, you know, when you capture that, now you're spreading those tax dollars over a bigger pool, so you're really lowering the rate and in essence lowering the tax bill for an individual, which is a good thing.
Any thoughts, John?
I think that the advice makes sense from our accountant. It's kind of a, I don't know what the right word is, it's rote or whatever it would be, but the system is a system and we need to stick within the system.
So would I be correct in assuming that the consensus is that we maintain the 4.99%?
That would be my preference.
And that we look at it closely each year leading up to the TIF in terms of.
Which we have done.
Because this year, it looks like CPI could be close to 5%.
Yeah, the Fed projected 3.4, I think, at the end of the year early on, but now we've seen 2 months of over 5 or close to 5. I think we've got to continue to monitor that. And we can go out to the I think it's the Census Bureau or one of the .govs will tell us what the CPI is on a 12-month look back every month. So I know we look at that all the time. But yeah, in December, or in January, I should say, when it does lock in, that's when we can prepare, for the following year's levy, basically, in 22.
Okay, thank you. The next item on our agenda is a review of the tentative budget and appropriation ordinance. I've looked at it in detail. I'm comfortable with the calculations and I would be of a mind to recommend it to the board as presented. Any other differences of opinion?
I do not have a different opinion, no.
Okay.
I don't have any disputes either. It looks fine to me.
Okay. The review of date and time for the public hearing.
I just got back word from the legal department at the Daily Herald, and they have confirmed that they will publish our notice on Wednesday, August 18th, which will give us the 30 days needed before we have our hearing. And I thought we could have it on Monday, right before our board meeting at 6:45.
That sounds good to me.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Yes.
And based on our, at least my experience over the last 3 years, it just hasn't generated any interest in the public.
Well, when we have the amount at for the levy at 20%, that's when they'll come in with the tax border.
I go to a lot of board meetings, and it's usually pretty quiet at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
It's more at the municipal level that you get a lot more public.
Okay, so we're of a like mind as far as that date and time.
Mm-hmm.
Review of the Chief Financial Officer's statement of estimated revenues. I have reviewed that. It appears to be in order. I don't know whether anybody else has comments or not. So I would, if not, I would recommend that to the board. Review date and time for audit presentation.
I've reached out to a couple of most of the trustees, and they would all like to be able to participate in the presentation of the audit. So I'm recommending that we do it at 6 o'clock before the regular board meeting in October.
I would like to have a more limited review of the statements before the board.
As a treasurer or as the finance committee?
As the finance committee. When we had a finance committee 3 years ago, I think we had some productive conversations about the statements. At the last two full board reviews before, I seemed to be the only one that had any questions. And I was time limited. I don't think that is an appropriate way to go. I would prefer to have a audit or a finance committee meeting prior to that date to go through, identify any potential problems. Last year there were a number of things that were not correct in the statements, to review them and make sure that they're corrected before they're presented to the full board.
Honestly, I don't feel super strongly about this either way. I don't personally feel the need for an additional meeting. I'm comfortable with the pre-meeting presentation, but I don't feel super strongly one way or the other.
I feel more or less the same way. Before you came in, John, they asked us when you talked to remove your mask, so.
Okay. I don't feel very strongly about it, but I would prefer before the meeting, for the entire Board of Trustees to weigh in at the same time.
I think I would prefer before the meeting also. However, I don't feel that strongly about it, but I prefer the before. How much time do you think you need to, so we're not doing this over and over again? I mean, is it going to help?
Why?
I mean, the other trustees might have questions too. How much time do you think you want to put into this, into a meeting?
Well,
I know that you don't have it in front of you and all that, but just, you know, ballpark. Just
I would say upwards of an hour. But I believe very strongly that we can't have the auditors thinking that they're coming to present their final statement to the board if in fact there are material errors. And there have been in the last several years.
I see your point about looking at an audit beforehand. And if there's any material errors, having them corrected before this presented to the full board for approval.
Or we can have you meet with the auditor when the draft comes out, and you could go through it with him and
If the other board members have no objection, I would be willing to do that. But, you know, that was part of why I wanted a finance committee, because I wanted not to be the only party who was taking an in-depth look. I'm willing to do that.
I'll do that too. We could all sit down and go through it together.
I think in some years, I think before McClure or before Sikich, especially when I was new, the president and the treasurer and I would meet with the auditor. We would meet with the woman beforehand. I forgot her name, but I mean, I think that would be, we could do that.
Who's the manager? Is it Brian or is it, who's the lead on the?
Anthony.
Oh, Anthony. Sardini. Oh, yeah, we can get Anthony out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be more than happy to.
Yeah.
Although I think he's got a new baby, so he might be tired.
He does have a new
baby. I think he did last year.
I have no problem doing that. So, if it's the feeling of this finance committee that's an appropriate way to go, then I'm happy to do that.
I would not confuse the statement of the only one looking at it in depth with asking the same question three or four different times with slightly different verbiage. I'm not comfortable with that statement, but I am comfortable with my ability to review it before a meeting, so I don't have a personal need to be part of a pre-meeting.
If you would like someone else to be there, and if we have three trustees at a meeting, we're Open Meetings Act, so we have to post everything like that.
Well, why don't we open it to anybody who wants to come, not just the Finance Committee?
Yeah, I mean, if you had, you just have to be careful of the number of board members. But yeah.
Well, no, I'll post it.
Yeah.
I'll just
post it
as a special
preliminary
meeting,
yeah.
Or, you know.
You do that.
And then that way, is I could say if you have this, then the presentation at the board meeting would be more efficient.
Right, and I think it could be more focused in terms of the things that are probably more pertinent to the whole board and are in terms of where we are and that sort of thing.
The new trustee may want to come and sit in. So what I'll do on the August agenda is put in there that we're going to have a preliminary meeting before the committee of the whole meeting and invite the trustees to attend. And then I'll post it and I'll work with Anthony and James and get a date and we can get people out here and if they're interested.
Yeah. And then it's not problematic if everybody shows up or if one shows up.
Because I'll post it.
Okay.
Okay. And it'll be good for James and I, you know, to review it together with Anthony.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's a good plan.
All right. So, the final item that I've got on the agenda that I'd like to talk about is the discussion of the IMRF fund and contributions. We have a rather large amount of money that is accumulated in this specific fund that can be only used for this purpose. And it occurs to me that perhaps what we should be doing with that fund money is making an additional contribution to our liability under IMRF for the library. It would increase our funding percentage, I think. Last year's report was about 70%. I'm trying to recall.
It was 85 in the
I'm
audit.
Sorry?
85% in the audit funded.
Well, it depended on the assumption level, so. But I think we can be criticized for having assessed those funds and not making use of them. If they were to be, and I don't know what the mechanics of this are, and even whether it's possible, if we were to make a one-time additional contribution to our IMRF fund, those monies would then be invested in whatever manner the IMRF fund manages their funds. So that our overall unfunded percentage should drop. And I'm interested in hearing from this group if they have any particular thoughts. I know John does a lot with pension work and
so pensions are rather particular beasts. Is this discussion topic, is it possible to make a special contribution to the
yep.
IMRF?
It's possible.
Okay. How much extra money do we have?
About $80,000 in fund balance to start the year. I don't know where we ended. I have to look it up. But
there's another option, too. I mean, you could do that, but I think we're at roughly 85% funded, and IMRF is one of the most...
They're the best.
They're the best pension fund out there.
Yeah.
So what we could do is levy less in the IMRF fund, use those funds that are already in there, and then the money that we have, we will, you know, spend that down, and then the money would go into the corporate fund, so we would still be able to use that for operating expenses, or it could go into you know, special reserve.
That's typically the recommended play, only because one, you get more money for operations, and we know we're on a 1.4 CPI, so you're not getting a lot of new money as it is. So now we're going to pull a little bit more back into the corporate fund for programs, you know, library. Sorry, good libraries. I keep forgetting. you know, the contribution, we've done that typically only when we see like an early, like an ER, like early retirement incentive, where somebody's leaving early, they're on that 5-year buy down or however it works, and you know your funded percentage is going down because this person is going into retirement and they're going to have a big contribution that's needed. What I saw in just some of the background and seeing this on the agenda is that your percentage from IMRF has not really fluctuated all that much. You've been between like 14% and 15% on the employer side. And that's what, you know, what we need to pay in on our employees' behalf. You're at 85% funded, at least from what I see in your last year's audit. Managing investments did well. I think this is the 2019 year, so in 2020, you may have seen that go up or down. I'm not sure. But that's really good. I mean, obviously, the statute is you know, 90% by 2040, you're going to get there, and IMRF's going to get you there because they have teeth. They can take your rate up, and, you know, you can either phase in or have to pay that rate.
I think that we had a phase in a couple of years ago.
Yes, if investments underperform, typically they'll come to you and say, look, we're taking everybody up, but you can phase it in over a number of years. By decreasing the IMRF levy, again, you're not hurting yourself because basically you're just taking it down in one specific year and taking up the corporate fund so that you're still maximizing your levy under the cap, because the cap is an aggregate. So they don't really care what you do on the individual fund basis. So, you know, some of those funds have ceilings, so you always have to watch for those. But if you were to take one down and increase another one, you could do that in any given year without penalty or without hurting your levying capacity. So, you know, that's definitely a board decision. I mean, you were at about $1 million in liabilities. So if you have $80,000 in fund balance and you wanted to give over even every dollar of that, you're not really making a huge splash to decrease the liability overall. We kind of tell our clients, unless you're seeing a very low funded percentage, and I'm talking like in the 50s, where this would make an impact, you may want to go the levy route. And again, you're levying less, your expenditures stay where they're at, and then you're just naturally drawing down on the fund balance. It's there, it's strategic in nature, because you're right. You don't want to keep, you know, you're not in a tax objection situation. You're at about 29% fund balance to expenditure ratio given the 20 audit. So you're not going to draw a tax objection, so there's no concern there. But you don't want excess money sitting in those, what I would call non-major funds. So I think you're right to strategize a way to draw that down. The levy is one way to do that, an extra contribution is another. But I think the levy approach, all things considered, might be the way to go here. And again, it would be for the 1 year.
I would like to add something. When I was on the Rails Board, when I was president of the Rails Board, we had a year we actually, our levy for our pension was so low, because it might have been even negative at a particular year. And they looked at the employees, and the employees were so young that for the, you know, it's kind of like no one was going to retire from that fund and for a long, long time. I guess some people had moved on a number of years before, so they had a very young population. So that brought it down. And it's kind of like talking about funding viability. Unless everybody was going to retire on a particular day, your funds are okay. I mean, yeah, when you get down to like 50%, you want to start thinking long term. Yeah. But if we're up around 85%, we're doing pretty good. Now, if we want to make a play in a particular year for additional funds, I can understand that. But I just wanted to, or if you, like you say, that if you know someone's going to retire,
right,
you might want to start preparing for that so your fund doesn't take a big hit when it does happen.
I know we do have somebody retiring in January. The majority of people have retired in the last couple of years, so that's something to consider too after this audit.
When will we get the annual pension
the actuarial
statement or
the GASB 68?
Yes.
Should they post them on IMRF's website? And I'm trying to think of when they do. I mean, they have one firm that does the whole everybody that's in IMRF.
When I pulled the rates, I didn't see
you didn't see it yet. Yeah,
yeah,
it might not be out yet.
I keep looking for it. So,
and again, because I'm seeing 19 in your audit, I'm thinking it's probably maybe 20's out, but I don't think 21 would be even close. But yeah, it's out there somewhere.
So it sounds like perhaps what we need to do, because whatever we do with those funds, it's basically going to be a one-shot deal. If we bring down the IMRF tax for 1 year to balance that fund and move that to either a specific reserve or another operating, it's a 1 year pickup. It's not going to be an ongoing sort of thing. So it's something that we need to consider as we approach our tax rate submissions at the end of this year. Is it?
The levies, yeah, November, filed in December by the last Tuesday.
Right, but we already have done the adjusted rates. That's already been done.
No, I know, but when we do it next.
Well, we'll do the levy and then we'll get the rates. And so then it comes back and you'll have a chunk here and a chunk here, and then you've got to do the calculation. So like this year, we put three of the funds really low,
right.
So that's what we would do up for IMRF.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion?
The only thing I would add to that conversation on fund balance is we talked a little bit about fund balance policy, and that might be something too for the Finance Committee to take up and say, let's determine what we want that fund balance percentage to be, you know, as a ratio of fund balance to expenditures. That way, when we see excess accumulation or something above our policy, we can bring it to the full board and say, here are some of the adjustments we're going to need to make as we move forward, because our policy dictates that we need to stay at you know, 15% or something like that. So that is something maybe we can continue to discuss at a later meeting.
Well, one of the things that I'd like to do at a future Finance Committee meeting is look at a 10-year capital projection and what our gross revenues and expenses are, so that we can look projecting to the future where we will be, so that we can make those kinds of considered recommendations to the full board. Right now, I think we're kind of, I won't say flying blind, but we really don't have a vision of where we want to go, and
yeah,
and an accumulation of everything that we're going to have to do from a capital standpoint.
Sure.
You know, we're starting to address that now with the parking lot. That's
right.
$250,000 project, but there are other mechanical things and other things that I know Carolyn had mentioned in a discussion that she and I had, that perhaps at some point she should bring in a firm to go through and evaluate the library's equipment in total.
We did a capital needs assessment right before the renovation, and I know that we've addressed a lot of the things. We got the new chiller, we got the new generator, so I just want you to understand that it may not be as dire as you think, because when we had IMED come out, we addressed the major things there. So
right.
I think that we could have actually Studio GC perform the capital needs assessment.
So, well, is there anything else that
item
we need to consider?
Is discussion of IMRF funding contributions. Do we want to make any recommendations or revisit that again in the future?
Well, I think the conclusion is that we should be keeping this in mind when we do our allocation of our tax line items to different funds in the next year.
So we're going to lower the levy for the IMRF or do the...
Right, so we can...
I don't know if, I think before we lower the line item, we have to understand what we're going to use the money for first. If we don't have a specific use for that money, leave it alone. Because until we have, okay, we can see that we need to replace, well, the parking lot, let's say we need to replace that, it's going to cost X amount of dollars, and we don't want to affect our operating budget. Next year, we can do that by making that play. I just don't want to make a play, put some money aside for something in the future. That's my feeling. I don't know how the rest of the board would feel about it, but I think it's a great idea when you have a specific plan in place, how are you going to use those funds. And I think getting an updated capital needs assessment would be a great idea to kind of make that decision about where we're going to use the money.
Okay.
Well, then I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Thank you very much, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Thank
your
you.
Time.
Thank you. Let's keep that timely. That helps. That's good.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody.
Oh, yeah, you can turn it off.
I'm too afraid of this thing. I'm not touching it. I don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, you want it? It's...